Thank you to our choir and Kaylee and Richard. What a beautiful expression of worship as we worship our holy God. Let us pray together. Holy God, we give you thanks that you are a holy creator, almighty God. Help us to recognize the blessings of the gifts you have poured out on us. We thank you for the gift of creation, the beautiful world you have given us in your mighty power. We thank you for the gift of church and church family, for this time and space together to worship, to be encouraged, inspired, challenged. We pray, God, that we may hear your voice, that we may experience your presence this day. We thank you, God, for the gift of this country in which we live, for the freedoms with which we are blessed. We pray that we might not take these freedoms for granted, but that we might continue to strive to embody the spirit of these freedoms and to spread these freedoms, to share these gifts with others, and to work to ensure that everyone can experience these freedoms. We thank you, God, for the freedom we have in you. The freedom to be your free people. And just as you set the people of Israel free from slavery years ago, you have set us free from many things that hold us captive. And we pray that you would continue to set us free and keep us free from things that might pull us away from you. And we pray, God, that we would worship you with our full hearts, that you would be the focus of our worship. Not ourselves and our desires and our agendas, but you, God, holy God. We stand in awe of your holiness, and we pray that we would sense your presence and live in your presence this day and in the days to come. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it was 243 years ago that the 13 colonies of the United States signed the Declaration of Independence, declaring ourselves to be an independent nation. And this past week, that is what we celebrated, the signing of that document on the 4th of July. You may know it was actually July 2nd when Congress voted to declare independence, but they did not sign the declaration until 2 days later. In fact, had you invited John Adams to attend your 4th of July cookout, he would have declined. He often declined invitations to 4th of July celebrations because he insisted that July 2nd was the day we should be celebrating. And then it was not until July 8th that the Declaration of Independence was read publicly for the first time. This was, of course, all in 1776. But the signing of the Declaration of Independence did not represent the completion of America's quest for independence. The Revolutionary War raged on for years before a peace treaty was finally signed 7 years later in 1783. But during the years of the Revolutionary War, Americans celebrated on the 4th of July. The fight for independence was not over, but the celebration of freedom, perhaps at times more of the ideal than of the reality, had already begun. And in some ways, we are still fighting to ensure freedom for all in our country. And yet we celebrate, even though we recognize that there are ways in which not everyone fully enjoys freedom, we still celebrate the freedom of our nation. And that is what this past week has been, a celebration of freedom. And so as we are thinking about freedom this time of year, I want to invite us this morning to consider what freedom means from a Christian perspective. We read earlier some verses from Galatians chapter 5 about freedom. And in this text, the Apostle Paul was not talking about the freedom of our country or any country. He was not talking about political freedom, which is what we celebrate on the 4th of July, but he was talking about spiritual freedom. And even though it's a different kind of freedom, I do think there are some connections we can make and some ways in which Paul's words about spiritual freedom can help us better understand what freedom means. And so first, I want to challenge us to ask ourselves a question. What are we free for? Not what are we free from, because we often think about that, but what are we free for? What is the purpose of freedom? Paul is talking about being free from sin and free from the requirement to earn God's favor by adhering to the law. But this does not mean, Paul cautions, that being free from the law means that followers of Christ are free to do whatever we please. In verse 13, Paul writes, "My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other in love." And this is the purpose of freedom, to serve each other with love. Being free in Christ means we do not have to worry about our eternal future. We do not have to worry about earning God's favor. We do not have to keep up with the 613 laws that the rabbis identified in the Old Testament. We are free in Christ, free by the grace of God, free to live as God's free people. Being free does not mean there are no expectations, no guidelines, no responsibility. If we take our freedom to mean we can do whatever we want, then we will find ourselves in this situation that Paul describes in verse 15, where he writes, "If you keep attacking each other like wild animals, you had better watch out, or you will destroy yourselves." William Golding's novel, The Lord of the Flies, describes a situation like this. A group of boys between the ages of 6 and 12 find themselves stranded on a deserted island with no adults. For the kids in the room, what would you do if you found yourself in a place with no adults, only kids? That might sound free at first. If there were no adults to give you rules or tell you what to do, you might think, oh, that's what I want. That sounds great. And they thought that at first. And so they try to establish some order. But the social order they try to establish soon deteriorates into a dangerous situation. And the problem is they do not know how to use this sudden, newfound, unexpected freedom of being away from the rules and expectations of their parents and teachers and other authority figures. Their freedom, which is initially seen as an exciting opportunity, at least by some of the boys, ends up leading to struggle and tragedy. It is similar to what Paul describes in Galatians 5:15. The boys end up attacking each other like wild animals. Paul says, if we do not use our freedom as God intended, then we too will hurt one another and be hurt by one another. But if you keep attacking each other like wild animals, Paul writes, you had better watch out or you will destroy yourself. So how does God intend for us to use our freedom? We find this in verse 14. Paul says, all that the law says can be summed up in the command to love others as much as you love yourself. That is what our freedom is for. That is what our freedom in Christ is all about, to love our neighbors. That is why, Paul says, Christ sets us free. Jesus did not set us free from sin and from the law just for our own benefit. Our spiritual freedom in Christ is not all about us. Our relationship with God is not all about us. Jesus sets us free so that we can more fully, more completely, more genuinely love our neighbors. That is what God has always wanted from God's people, to love and worship God and to love and serve one another. Hear again these words from Galatians 5:13 and 14. My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. All that the law says can be summed up in the command to love others as much as you love yourself. This is what Jesus taught. This is what Paul says freedom in Christ is all about. So what would it look like if we took these words about spiritual freedom and applied them to the freedom we celebrated on the 4th of July? What kind of a difference might it make in our political climate, in our country, in our world, if we used our freedom to serve others, to look out for our neighbors' rights and needs and freedom as much as we do for our own? Because if we are using our freedom only for our own benefit, as a gift to be enjoyed by us and by those like us, then we are missing an essential part of what it means to follow Jesus, the one who gave his life for us. Now, some might say, oh, surely Jesus did not mean for us to sacrifice our security or our future or that of our families. But I think if we take seriously the life and the death of Jesus, then we have to concede that Jesus does intend for us to sacrifice. Jesus gave his life for us. And Jesus said, you see what I have done when he washed his disciples' feet? You see how I, your teacher, have washed your feet? So you too, go and do likewise. Jesus wants us to serve humbly, to take our gifts, even the gift of freedom, and use it as an opportunity to serve others. Freedom in Christ does not mean comfort and convenience and protection from all struggles of life. Freedom in Christ means the ultimate battle has already been won. Jesus conquered death, and we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. But we do have work to do, the work of loving our neighbors. And so this morning, I want to challenge you. In this week of celebration, of giving thanks for our country and for the blessing of our political freedom, to take a moment and to list some of the blessings in your life. And you might do this in your mind, or you might find a piece of paper there in your pew. There should be a little space on your bulletin, or if you're near a friendship registry, you can use the back of one of those sheets. Take a moment and think about some of the blessings of your life. This is a week when hopefully you have had a little time to relax, time to be with family, time to enjoy those blessings. And so let me give you just a moment to think about some of those blessings. What are some of the blessings of your life? As you look at that list of blessings, or as you think about those blessings, and I hope more will come to your mind as the day goes on, I want to invite you to think about those blessings in light of these words from Galatians chapter 5. Christ has set us free. That means we are really free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. How can you use the blessings on your list to serve others? How can these blessings be not just for you, but for your neighbors? How can these blessings help you follow Jesus' command to love your neighbor as yourself? I wonder if we could even be a little creatively flexible with Paul's words. Paul says, don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want, but use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. What if we said, don't use your blessings as something to just enjoy for yourself, but use them as an opportunity to serve each other with love? That's not exactly what Paul says, but I think it is in the spirit of what Paul says and of what Jesus taught, that we would use our blessings to serve one another with love. For we are blessed, but the purpose of blessings is not just for our own enjoyment, but to serve one another with love. Jesus says the greatest command is to love God, and the second greatest is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. To use your blessings, to use whatever opportunities you may have to serve each other with love. That is what it means to be free, free to serve. That is the purpose of freedom, to serve one another in love. I want to give a couple of examples that are found in our bulletin today. We have a couple of opportunities coming up in the life of our church. One is that we are partnering with the Methodist Church and other churches in our community to provide food for families in our community. These families have been identified by counselors in the school system. They are families that have children in our local schools, and they will be coming to the Methodist Church to receive food to help them through the summer. For many families, summer is a very expensive time, a very challenging time. The children are out of school, there are extra childcare expenses, and families struggle to make ends meet. And so we need volunteers, and there's a sign-up list in the hallway. In a couple of weeks will be the dates, and the information is listed in your bulletin. That is a way that you can use your blessing. If you are blessed with time, if you are blessed with health, if you are blessed with energy, if you are blessed with many things, perhaps you can find a way to use those to serve in our community in this way. Another way we are helping address that same need is through Clemson Community Care, who gives extra food to families in the summer as well. Many of you know that although they have Clemson in their name, 40% of their clients live in Pendleton. They are our neighbors. And so there's a list in your bulletin of some of the food items that they need to help these families get through the summer. Bringing those items and placing them in the barrel in the hallway is a way that you can use your blessings. Perhaps you are blessed with plenty of food to eat. You're blessed with enough resources to buy the food that you need. May we use those blessings to serve one another in love. I hope that you can think of many more examples in looking at your list, ways that we can use our blessings, use our opportunities to serve one another in love. And so may we give thanks to God for our many blessings, and may we use these blessings to serve one another in love. Let us pray together. God, we give you thanks for the blessings we have listed this day. For those blessings that have come to our minds, and for other blessings, blessings that perhaps we did not think of, blessings that we tend to take for granted. For these many blessings, God, we give you thanks. And we pray, God, that you would help us to be generous with our blessings, to give and to share and to serve one another in love. And we also pray, God, for times when it is difficult to think of our blessings, for times when we do not feel blessed, for times when we struggle with finances or health or relationships, and we think, oh, if only I could write that down as a blessing, but God, I don't have that blessing right now. We pray, God, that in these times that you would grant us peace, that you would grant us your healing, that you would remind us that you supply all of our needs, that you are all we need, that you are with us, even in times of scarcity, times of drought, times of trouble. In these difficult times, God, you are with us. We pray, God, that we would bless one another, that we would give of what we can, that we would receive the gifts from one another. We pray, God, for the grace to receive as we need to receive. And we pray, God, that we would have the grace to receive the gift you have given us, the gift of your love, the gift of your forgiveness, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who teaches us what it means to give, what it means to live a life of sacrifice, what it means to live a life of love for you, God, and for neighbors. And sometimes, God, when we live that life of sacrifice and love, we find ourselves feeling poured out, and we feel like we have given all we can. And we pray, God, in those times that you would help us to give ourselves the grace to rest, to give ourselves the grace to receive from others, to give ourselves the grace to recognize that we are enough in you, that you created us, you love us, you are with us. You offer us forgiveness for where we fall short. And you offer us the assurance that you are with us always, even into eternity. We pray, God, that we would trust in you, that we would trust in you to be enough, that we would not feel that we have to struggle to earn your favor, but that you would help us to be set free from that struggle. And for that freedom, God, for freedom in Christ, we give you thanks. We pray that we would truly receive and enjoy and live in that freedom, that we would not, as Paul cautions, let ourselves fall again to slavery, feeling like we have to earn your favor or do things according to the law to be good enough. But God, we are yours, and we thank you for your grace. Help us to extend that grace as generously as we have received it, and to live in your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.